I have a blinking box in my top left, I said.
Those are game and status change notifications. Probably from your fight outside a few minutes back. Don't click it yet. We'll get there. First, I want you to focus on the map on the bottom right. Look right at it, and make sure you're thinking about looking at it.
I did as he asked, and the map got bigger, increasing to fill my entire vision. It was a simple blue and gray map showing the hallways and a few random doorways. Most of the area around us wasn't filled in. It only showed the area we'd walked, pushing out about 20 meters in every direction. A green dot sat in the middle, right in the guild. Two additional dots appeared, a blue one and a white one. I focused on the blue dot, and a note appeared above it.
Crawler, Princess Donut.
The white dot read,
Guildmaster Mordecai.
The whole room glowed yellow, and when I focused on it, it read,
Tutorial Guild.
A trio of X's appeared outside in the hallway. I mentally clicked on one.
Corpse, level 2, Goblin.
I mentally clicked away, and the whole map shrank back to normal.
Good, good, Mordecai said. So you're the green dot. The blue dots will be other crawlers, white dots will be NPCs, such as myself, and mobs will be red. There are a few other kinds, but you'll figure those out along the way. By the way, no other crawlers or mobs can see your menus, but while you're inside this guild, I can see what's on your screen. You are already adept at opening and closing, which is good. Now try focusing on the map again. With your mind, pinch it smaller, and then move it across the screen. That way you can customize your HUD.
It went on like this for a while, him explaining how to open and close menus within my display. I could just think about it, and a whole menu system would pop up, giving me access to several folders. Once I got used to the weirdness of it being in my head, the system was quite intuitive. The first menu was player stats. Like I mentioned earlier, I'd played a handful of computer and tabletop RPGs over the years, so this section wasn't too surprising. My stats were Strength, 6. Intelligence, 3. Constitution, 5. Dexterity, 5. Charisma, 4. According to Mordecai, I couldn't directly adjust these stats. Not yet. I received 3 stat points every time I leveled up, but I couldn't distribute them until I picked a race and class. And I couldn't do that until I reached the 3rd floor down. For now, these numbers went up and down on their own based on my inherent real-life physical and mental attributes. He also added the typical adult human averaged between 3 and 5 for each of these first 5 stats, so my 6 in strength was good. I could find items and potions that would either temporarily or permanently adjust these numbers, but for now, there wasn't much I could do about them. Why do we have to wait until we go down to the 3rd floor before we get to pick a class? I asked. He shrugged.
It takes a lot of energy to run this whole operation. I think they figured if you manage to make it to the 3rd floor, you're worth the investment to transfigure. Class is easy, but changing your race takes some doing. You're being fundamentally changed at the cellular level. That's a lot of effort for someone who's just going to get eaten by a flytrap on the 1st floor.
I hadn't thought about it till that moment. I change into a different type of creature. If this was a computer game, I'd do it in a second. I never played humans in games if I could help it, but permanently changing myself into something different? The thought made me ill. It was something I'd have to think about and deal with when I got there. I grumbled a bit about that 3 in intelligence. Yeah, I never did too great in math, but I never considered myself a slobbering idiot either. I could fix most anything electrical after studying it for a bit. My friend Billy Maloney? Now that guy was an idiot. Just last week we'd come out of a bar, and he'd peed right on a cop's bicycle while the cop was giving someone else a ticket for drunk and disorderly. That guy deserved an intelligence of 3. Maybe 2. Billy is dead. He was still in jail. He'd had a warrant for failure to appear, so they'd taken him in. He's dead like everyone else in the world. I pushed it away. After I complained about my intelligence score to Mordecai, Using the Billy example, he said,
Intelligence told you that bike belonged to a police officer. Wisdom told you not to urinate upon it. We all have a wisdom stat, but it doesn't appear on that list. It used to, but they discovered changing one's wisdom greatly changed their personality, so it's no longer adjustable. I do not know what this Billy's intelligence is, but I guarantee his wisdom is not a 5. Worry not about an intelligence of 3 unless you're seeking a magic-based class. Your best bet is something that focuses on strength.
That mollified me while Mordecai moved me to the next menu.
This next screen is the single most important menu in the entire game. Your life depends on these numbers.
It was called Ratings. I clicked on it, and the list took me aback. Ratings. Views, 0. Followers, 0. Favorites, 0. Patrons, 0. Apparently, the first level of the dungeon was off limits to live viewers, so these stats wouldn't move until I descended to the second floor. As of right now, no viewers had access to anything that was going on. However, Borant would release an edited highlights reel over the next day or so. If I managed to get shown during the premiere of the show, or any of the regular update episodes, it would be like hitting the lottery. Featured crawlers always gained billions of views and millions of followers right out the gate. Given the sheer number of people in the world, I seriously doubted I was going to be featured. So if I wanted to survive, I needed to have what Mordecai called chutzpah and the it factor.
You need to stand out. You can't just kill that shambling acid impaler and walk away. You need to kill it with style, with excitement. Maybe you can come up with a catchphrase. During my crawl, I managed to accumulate almost 30 million followers and 4 patrons. That's the only way I survived.
Excuse me. Shambling what?
A shambling acid impaler. The second floor will be lousy with them. They trance about on 4 legs, are green, hairy, spit darts at you that melt your skin off. Awful creatures.
Jesus Christ. I still felt as if this was all a dream. Mordecai snapped.
Hey, kid, pay attention. The monsters aren't important. Well, they are, but this part especially is more important.
Okay, I said, waving him along. Keep going. He went on to explain how viewership worked. Once I hit the second floor, watchers from across the universe had the ability to tune into any crawler they wished. Borant would continue to air highlights. So the longer I survived, the better my chances at getting featured. Anytime someone watched me for just about 8 seconds or so, it counted as a view. This stat didn't help or hurt me, but it was a good indicator of how interesting I was.
You might not like it,
Mordecai said,
but pay careful attention when I tell you this. Obtaining patrons is crucial to your survival. There is plenty of great loot in the dungeon that'll help you survive, but the best loot comes from benefactors. Patrons. Views lead to followers. If you're being followed, it means the viewer has bookmarked your crawler ID. They can look in on you whenever they want. Following leads to favorites. If you're favorited, that's a good thing. It means the viewers are getting live updates on your stats and condition. They get notifications if you're fighting. If someone has favorited you, they really want to know how you're doing. Viewers only get a certain number of favorites, so consider it an honor. But, ultimately, it's all about the patrons. Lots of favorites will always lead to patrons. Patrons are usually organizations, not individuals. They'll see someone has a lot of favorites, and they'll sponsor you. It's an advertising thing. They sponsor you by purchasing boxes for you. There are dozens of types of boxes, and each type of box has 6 quality tiers. Bronze, then silver, then gold, then platinum, then legendary, then celestial.
Yeah. You wouldn't let me open my boxes yet. Can I do it now?
Hold up, kid. We have a process here. We'll get there in a minute. Most patrons can only afford, or are willing to, send you silver or gold boxes. Bronze boxes tend to be crap, but anything higher usually has some good stuff in it. Some of the richer patrons may send you platinum boxes, though the cost for them has got to be astronomical. That said, patrons are the only ones who can send what are called benefactor boxes. Those contain the rarest items. So even a bronze benefactor box is better than a plain gold adventurer box. A benefactor box may contain items from the patron's home world. You will never find a pulse rifle or automated power armor in any sort of box in the world's dungeon, but it's possible to get one from a patron. Does that make sense?
None of this shit makes sense. But yes, I understand what you're saying. I'm on an intergalactic game show, and I have to be an obnoxious show-off in order to get eyes on me. And once I do have eyes on me, I might get a loot box with toilet paper in it. Does that about sum it up? Mordecai clapped his red hands.
Yes, but toilet paper is complimentary. Restrooms are liberally populated throughout the map. It's the only place the viewer cameras can't follow you.
Are you serious? Mordecai nodded.
Oh, I'm serious. The last dungeon Borant managed didn't have rest areas, and the crawlers were pissing and crapping all over the place. Crawlers lose viewers when they're shitting in the middle of a hallway. It's gross.
And what does Borant get out of this? Mordecai's demeanor changed. It was a subtle thing, but he stiffened slightly. His voice took on an oddly formal tone.
In addition to the mining income we already discussed, the Borant Corporation receives advertising dollars, a stipend from the syndicate government, and a commission on every credit spent by patrons.
He waited for a moment. A long moment. Before adding,
also, it should be noted that every time a crawler mentions the name of either the interstellar government or the organization sponsoring the current crawl, the system AI will record the interaction for review. If it is found a crawler is disparaging either of these two entities, especially while on camera with live viewers, the crawler's experience may be accelerated.
I nodded. Got it. I had no doubt that accelerated meant nothing good. We spent the next several minutes going over a few other menu items. I had a health menu, like in other games. Overall health was a single green bar, but in the menu, it was a more extensive pie chart. It indicated any active conditions and debuffs, plus I could drill down to specific areas. Healing was sped up in the dungeon. I had recently been cured of several issues I didn't even know I had, like abrasions at the bottom of my feet and on my hands, frostbite, and the start of an infection from when Donut had bit me. Health ticked up on its own slowly based on my constitution level. Also, if I went down a set of stairs to the next floor, my health points would instantly fill all the way up on their own. Another way to heal myself was via spells, potions, and scrolls. But there was no respawning. Dead was dead. After that was my skills menu. This section just went on and on and on. There seemed to be an infinite number of pages. If I didn't have the skill, I couldn't read what it said. It was still listed there, but the words were blurred out. Literally hundreds of pages would scroll by before I saw anything. Mordecai had me change the view to skills I did have, and that list was just as long. I had things like breathing, 3, walking, 4, operating a Sony brand RMVL Z620 universal remote control, 1. The list just never ended. He had me uncheck a box, and most of those skills disappeared. What was left was still several pages long. Then another check, and anything with a skill of 1 or 2 disappeared. What was left was things like unarmed combat, 3, basic electrical repair, 6, swimming, 4. Nothing was over 5, other than electrical repair. Most everything was 3.
This is a good start, Mordecai said. I'm impressed, kid. You're proficient with several earth weapons, all firearms. But since you didn't bring any, you'll want to train with some of the dungeon-based weapons. We'll see if you have anything good in any of the boxes when we get to it.
And you'll train me how to use them?
Nope. Not my job. There are guild halls scattered around that'll help you level up the skills. Especially magic ones. But the best way is always to practice.
Is there a store? The AI thing said something about a store.
That's when you reach the third floor. There's a structure to the third floor, and random stores will start populating the map after that. You can also trade with other crawlers or friendly mobs, if you can find any. Mobs on the second floor will start dropping gold.
Next was the magic menu, which was complicated as shit. It was also one of the most surreal parts of this adventure so far. I was given a simple healing spell and a pool of mana points which appeared in my top right underneath the health bar. Because my intelligence was only 3, I only had 3 magic points. The healing spell cost 2. Magic points naturally refilled about 1 every hour. I had a hot list of 10 spaces along the bottom of my screen, and there I could add potions or spells or other special items. Mordecai had me place the healing spell in spot number 1. I could mentally click it to cast it. The spell was only a level 1 basic healing spell, and it would heal about 20% of my health. He made me try it, even though my health was already at the top. I cast the spell, and my whole body glowed red. My magic bar went down by 2/3, and nothing else happened.
If you were injured or sick, you'd feel much better after that,
Mordecai said. A voice boomed, interrupting the tutorial. This was yet another speaker. Not the game show host that usually spoke, but a distinctly female voice. She spoke almost casually, like a manager addressing a store filled with employees just before they opened for business.
Hello, crawlers. The dungeon is now sealed. We have a diverse group joining us this season, and we are very happy to have you here. We had just under 13 million human crawlers make it through the gates and into the dungeon. We are already down to under 10 million. A quick note, the entrances to the second floor will not open up until the introductory episode of Dungeon Crawler World's Tunnels, which will be in approximately 30 of your hours. Once that happens, the entrances to the second level will populate. There will be no lag time for the appearance of additional levels. On behalf of the Borant Corporation, I wanted to thank you for volunteering, and I wish you all good luck and a happy crawl.
10 million people. It was more than I expected. But still, 3 million additional people dead in a matter of minutes. The number was so huge, it lost meaning. The announcement made me think of the way the dungeon was set up. The 5-day countdown timer continued to tick away. Do we get 5 days before they destroy each floor? Mordecai shook his head.
No, it's usually more each floor down. Later on, it'll depend on a lot of factors, such as ratings, how many crawlers are left, etc. But they usually add about 5 days each time. So you'll probably have 10 days for the second floor and then 15 for the third. The countdown doesn't start until the previous floor collapses.
How hard is it to find the staircases?
It can be tricky. It's not too difficult for the first few levels, but you'll want to focus on finding items or skills that'll help you find the next entrance down. This first floor is huge, as you can imagine. It's almost the size of the surface of your planet. They won't tell you this, but it's not all connected. It's not like you can wander about and run into someone from China. That'll change once you hit the third floor. You'll see if you survive that long. Starting on the fourth floor, each level will have a random theme and will encompass significantly less area. Entrances will stop populating in random places. They'll be guarded. You'll have to complete quests or defeat bosses to get to them. I had barely made it to floor 11, and when I saw what guarded the entrances to level 12, I knew it wouldn't be worth it.
What was it? I asked. He shook his head.
It doesn't matter. It'll be different here. It's different every time.
From there, we resumed the tutorial. We went over the party menu. If I had been accompanied by a group of people, we could manage our party in this menu. Party members shared experience and were able to access a group chat feature. Anyone who entered the dungeon at the same time as anyone else was automatically grouped together, and as a result, I had a party of 2. Me and Donut. The cat continued to lounge in front of the fire. It appeared she'd fallen asleep. So, my cat. The system has given her a crawler name and designator. Does that mean she's getting all these special achievements and loot boxes, too?
Yes. Any biological creature above a certain weight who enters the dungeon is assigned a crawler ID. But one needs at least an intelligence of 2 to qualify for training, and if you can't do training, your inventory doesn't get turned on, which allows you to access your boxes. Otherwise, they're designated as pets. All the other ones, like wild animals who happen to make it inside, very rarely make it past the first floor. We'll get to the pet menu after we open up your inventory, which is the next step.
Now that we'd put about 20 minutes between my earlier mention of Borant, I wanted to continue our previous conversation. Before we do that, I have a couple questions about the people running the show. He paused.
What is it?
Are they always listening?
Listening? Yes. Paying attention? Not necessarily. They expect a certain amount of gnashing of teeth amongst the crawlers, and we NPCs are required to say the name of the organizers multiple times during the training, so we're mostly ignored. Mostly. You really need to be careful once you start collecting followers. They know they're sadistic assholes, but they don't want you saying it on camera. They take their image quite seriously.
I'm no math expert, but when the dungeon opened, there were tons of the glowing entrances in my city. They said there were only 150,000 of them seated around the world. It seemed like too many for my area.
They have certain benchmarks they try to reach. The AI closely monitors the launch of the game, but there are loopholes. The entrances are rarely distributed equally. 10 million crawlers upon the ceiling of the dungeon is pretty typical. So, however it happened, it wasn't an accident. Like I said, they spend a lot of time preparing for each dungeon.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You've been here for decades. Does this show really only air once every 90 years or so?
No, not at all. Different corporations run each season, which appear about every 2 1/4 of your years. My employer usually has about 5 forward teams working at any given time, and they get chosen to run a season about 1 in 15.
So, with different corporations running each season in different worlds, crawling, then is every season vastly different?
Oh, yes. The Squim conglomerate chooses a different game completely, for example. It's a battle royale-style fight. An entire world, and it all comes down to one champion. It's good for ratings, but it doesn't make them much money, from what I understand. My company is known for making the most elaborate, most entertaining dungeons.
Wonderful. And you? Are you stuck here for the rest of your life?
No,
Mordecai said, smiling sadly. He looked down at the framed picture of the eagle creature I had placed on the floor.
This is my last tour. Once this nightmare is over, I become a full citizen, I receive a moderate stipend, and I am free to make my way into the universe.
Will you, go back to your home planet?
No. It's not open to me.
What about the people who didn't go into the dungeon on your world? He paused.
We really need to get back to the tutorial.
Okay. But what if someone won the dungeon, made it past level 18? The message said if that happens, they gain control of the world. Maybe your world is under control of one of your people. The rat creature grunted.
Remember how I said I made it down to the 11th floor?
Yeah?
A handful of crawlers over the centuries have made it that far. One once made it down to 13. One. He died within a half hour of hitting the floor. He was a human, like you, but from another human world. That's the deepest anyone has ever delved, kid. Level 13.
Chapter 5.
I've just activated your inventory,
Mordecai said, waving a hand.
This season, Borant is trying something a little different.
Different good or different bad? I asked, pulling up the menu. The only thing listed was a handful of loot boxes with ready to open next to them.
Last season, it was a slot-based system. It allowed one to carry multiple items, but it was limited in capacity and had standard weight limits. This season, each crawler is given a dimensional inventory and AI cataloging system.
What does that mean?
It's a good thing. Basically, unlimited storage. And if you can physically lift it off the ground by yourself for about 4 seconds, you can put it in your space, no matter how big it is. The only rule is you can't store living creatures. They will immediately die. Also, the storage is time-locked, so food doesn't go bad. That's a big one. We had an issue last season with crawlers starving to death, watching thousands of lethargic, unmoving players as they waited the timer to run out. Yeah, it was no good, so Borant fixed it. Disease and starvation doesn't make for compelling drama.
He produced a single glass bottle. It was small, like a third the size of a Coke bottle. It was red with a cork in it.
Pick it up and place it in your inventory. A gift from me to you.
I picked it up and examined the item's properties.
Standard healing potion. Increases your health by at least 50%. Doesn't cure poison or other health-seeping conditions such as succubus-inflicted gonorrhea. So, remember to wrap it up, bucko.
I pulled up my inventory menu, and an Add Item to Inventory button appeared. I clicked it, and the potion vanished. It appeared in my inventory list, which now had both a potions and healing submenu. I mentally clicked on it, and the potion reappeared in my hand.
Good, good. If you add the potion to your hot list, you'll drink it without having to actually drink it. Remember this, because some of these potions taste like shit. If you straight pull it from the normal inventory, you'll have to pop the cork and swallow. Potions and other like items stack up to 999 a slot, so it's best to stick them in your hot list. And that's pretty much it. There are a few other quirks regarding inventory, but you'll figure them out along the way.
I put the potion back and then added it to the hot list next to my healing spell.
Okay, let's take a look at your current notifications. Holy tits!
What? What? I said, alarmed, looking around. Donut looked up from her spot by the fire and yawned.
You have a legendary pet box. Why didn't you say so?
I just looked at him. The urge to punch him in the face returned. Mordecai shook his head.
Legendary, right when he walks in. Okay. Yes. Yes, you do have a lot of boxes. Okay. Now that your inventory is active, you can pop up your missed notifications. Let's take a look.
I had a line of the notifications. I clicked on the first one.
New achievement! You've inflicted damage on a mob. Hopefully it won't hit back. Reward? It's probably going to hit back. New achievement! You've killed a mob. You're a murderer! He probably had a family. Reward? You can now gain experience. Get enough of it, and you might even go up a level. New achievement! You've killed an armed mob with your bare fucking hands! Holy crap, dude! That's kind of fucked up. Reward? You've received a bronze weapon box. New achievement! You've killed a mob a higher level than yourself. You're getting the hang of this. Don't let it get to your head. Reward? You've received a bronze adventurer box. New achievement! You've entered a guild hall. Congratulations! You know how to open doors. Reward? That sense of fulfillment you feel? That's reward enough. New achievement! Podophilia! You've used your bare feet to crush and kill an opponent. Hey! That's my fetish! Seriously, keep doing it and you'll be rewarded. This will help. Reward? You've received a gold shoebox. New achievement! Boom! You've caused a wall-shaking explosion within the dungeon. The last time the walls shook like this was when your mom came over for a visit. Reward? You've received a silver goblin box. New achievement! Level up, baby! You've received enough experience to gain a level. Reward? Leveling up is your job! You don't get rewards for doing your job.
Underneath those were a few additional notifications.
You've gained a skill level. Pugilism level 4. The art of beating the shit out of your opponents with closed fists. Each level of this skill increases your bare knuckle damage by 25%. Level up! You are now level 2. 3 stat points gained.
Several other skill-based notifications flashed and disappeared before I could read them, likely thanks to my tinkering with the menu earlier. My inventory glowed, and I clicked on it. Several additional loot boxes now appeared on my list.
You may only open boxes in safe areas.
Mordecai said.
All guild halls are safe areas, but not all safe areas are guild halls.
Will they be hard to find? The safe areas, I mean.
The safe rooms will always appear on your map, even if they're within the fog of war.
Fog of war?
If you haven't visited an area, it won't show the specifics of the hallways, even if it's in the range of your mini-map. The fog of war covers places you haven't yet visited. The safe rooms will have restrooms, sleeping cubicles, and some will even have food and fountains with healing potions. Getting to them might be hard, but you'll always know where they are if you get close enough.
Is there a time limit for staying in one?
Nope. But don't forget the level itself is going to collapse in on your head after a certain amount of time. The only way to survive is to keep moving deeper.
Okay, I said, rubbing my hands together. Hopefully, there are some pants in one of these things. Let's start cracking them open.
Okay, you have 10 loot boxes. That's a lot, but not a crazy amount. Usually people come into the tutorial with 2 or 3. You can hoard them, but when you do decide to open them, you can't pick and choose which ones to open. It's an all-or-nothing thing. There's no real tactical reason to hold on to them since you can't sell or transfer unopened boxes. Also, it's important to note that while it's possible to receive unstable or damaged loot, you'll never receive outright cursed loot in a box. But that doesn't mean everything is safe to try on. Always read the descriptions before you activate or wear something. Always, always, no exceptions. Okay, here we go. It's going to open them by tier.
The 10 boxes all popped out of my inventory and appeared floating in front of me single file. The first few boxes were about half the size of a military footlocker. Each box had a label floating over it. The first to appear was bronze-colored and had a strange, hedgehog-like animal stenciled on the top.
Bronze pet box. 1 out of 10.
The top popped open on its own. The box disappeared in a puff of smoke, and a single rolled-up piece of paper and a small pile of what looked like dry cat food appeared on the floor. Text appeared above each item.
Scroll of Heal Critter. Pet Biscuit x10.
The items disappeared and entered my inventory. Before I could open the inventory box to read the description of the scroll, the next box appeared.
Bronze Adventurer Box. 2 out of 10. Potion of Healing x2. Common Fingerless Gloves.
After that was...
Bronze Weapon Box. 3 out of 10. Toad Cudgel.
The Toad Cudgel was a stick. It looked like a 3/4-length baseball bat shaped by someone who only had a vague idea of what baseball was.
Bronze Weapon Box. 4 out of 10. Poker.
This wasn't much better. It was literally a fireplace poker. A wrought iron stick with a screw-on point at the end.
Bronze Adventurer Box. 5 out of 10. Potion of Healing. Potion of Mana.
These next two boxes were slightly larger and made of silver.
Silver Adventurer Box. 6 out of 10. Poison Antidote. x2. Crawler Biscuit. x100. Torch. x20.
This next silver box looked distinctively different than the last. Like the goblin murder dozer, it appeared hobbled together with random hunks of silver-colored metal. A goblin skull was etched onto the lid.
Silver Goblin Box. 7 out of 10. Dynamite x5. Lighter. Goblin Pass.
The Goblin Pass took the form of the same goblin-shaped skull from the top of the box. The symbol appeared floating in the air. Instead of adding itself to my inventory, it flew and smacked up against my left inner forearm. I was still wearing my leather jacket, but I could feel it burning against my skin, like I was being branded. The brand also appeared on the exterior of the jacket. The pain quickly abated, and my jacket was otherwise undamaged. It was time for the good stuff. These next two boxes were bigger yet and glowed with a golden light.
Gold Apparel Box. 8 out of 10. Enchanted Night Gaunt Cloak of Stoutness. Enchanted Trollskin Shirt of Pummeling.
Beside me, Mordecai gasped the moment the two items appeared. I hoped that was a good thing.
Gold Shoebox. 9 out of 10. Enchanted Toe Ring of the Splatter Skunk.
toe ring. A goddamned toe ring? I needed shoes, damn it, not a toe ring. I was so irritated by this prize I almost missed the opening of the final box. The legendary pet box had the same symbol etched on it as the bronze pet box, but this thing was 3 times the size. It was made of alternating, intricately carved silver and gold patterns. Clockwork gears spun with a ratcheting click-click-click as the box opened. A musical fanfare sounded.
Legendary pet box, 10 out of 10. Pet biscuit, x500. Enhanced pet biscuit.
That's it? I said as the final prizes poofed back into my inventory. What the hell is an enhanced pet biscuit? Mordecai was looking between me and Donut.
Yeah, kid. You'll want to give your cat that biscuit right now while you're still in the guild.
What does it do? I asked. I pulled it out of my inventory. It looked like a cat treat. It was small, smaller than my fingernail, brown, hard, and round with a crumbly texture. I doubted I'd be able to get Donut to eat it. While the cat was always shoving her face with food, Bee insisted on giving her the wet stuff, even though it got all over her face. Donut turned her nose up at most everything else. I examined the treat's attributes.
Enhanced pet biscuit. So, it looks like a regular pet biscuit. It's not. Feed to your pet at your own risk. What's the worst that can happen?
What does it do? I asked a second time.
The effects vary. Regular biscuits feed pet-based classes for a full day. The pets find them delicious. They smell them, and they'll just gobble them up. So make sure you only pull one out at a time. Enhanced treats have over 100 different possible effects. Half of them are good. The rest are neutral or decidedly bad. But if there's a bad outcome, your pet won't attack you if you feed them the treat while you're in a safe zone. Your pet will be teleported outside to a random place within a square mile of here. If you feed it to her while you're out on crawl and she transforms into a toothed flesh butcher, you're pretty much fucked. So you should definitely do it now. Either that or save it to sell later. It's worth a couple thousand gold.
Shit. I'd been avoiding thinking about this until now. But what could I do? Donut was a damn cat. It wasn't like she was a mastiff or anything. Some sort of pet I could use as protection. Even if I could get her to follow me in the first place, she'd be more a liability than anything. I felt an obligation to her. I was all she had left in the world. It wasn't logical, I knew. But if I could sell this tiny little treat for a lot of money, I could buy some really useful items, like shoes and pants. I rolled the cat treat in my fingers. As awful as it was, it would be best to—
Ow!
I cried, as Donut leaped up and ate the treat right from my hand. Splat! The moment the cat hit the ground, she was transformed into a wet mess of flesh. She splattered like a hunk of hairy, jellied water.
Donut! What the hell happened to my cat?
Waiting. Waiting.
Appeared over the quivering, shaggy mass. Mordecai said, coming forward to poke at the blob with his foot. It wiggled.
Transformation. Your creature is being changed somehow. It didn't teleport away, so it's not considered a negative result. Looks like we'll have to wait. I've seen this before a few times. It won't be long. Maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Chapter 6. As we waited for my mutant cat to emerge from her blob, I examined my other loot. The fingerless gloves went onto my hands. Of the two weapons, I liked the feel of the cudgel more than that of the poker, which felt like it would bend and break the moment I hit something with it. I examined the cudgel's properties. The game show host AI described it using a caveman voice.
Toad cudgel. Big stick for bonking. Bonk toad. Bonk mob. Bonk girlfriend and drag back to cave by hair.
I wondered if the metal pot was still out there. It'd be better than this bullshit. I placed my hand on the symbol branded onto my jacket. An info box popped up.
Goblin Pass. It's a tattoo on your forearm. Now you'll never get a good job. Note, pass tattoos cannot be hidden unless you purchase a cover-up sleeve. Will show through any armor you may wear. Removes automatic goblin hostility. Allows for free passage through goblin-controlled territory in the dungeon. Warning! Holding a goblin pass will cause natural goblin enemies, such as fairy-class creatures, to deal 20% more damage against you. Still, it looks kinda badass.
I grumbled that the system didn't give me a choice. It just burned it right onto me. I didn't have any tattoos, and I'd never really wanted one. Most everyone I knew had plenty, but I'd never liked the idea. My old man had been covered in them, and it wasn't ever something I associated with being cool. The black, leathery, and hooded nightgaunt cloak weighed almost nothing. It appeared to be made from the wing of some sort of demon creature. The skin was stretched between rows of long, body-length finger bones. When I put the hood up, I noticed it had pointed ear things on either side.
Enchanted Nightgaunt Cloak of Stoutness. The wearer of this cloak gains +4 to constitution and becomes resistant to poison and ice-based attacks. In addition, the cloak adds anti-piercing resistance to all worn armor. It also makes you look like a dollar store Batman. Warning, if a Nightgaunt spies you wearing this, they probably won't be too happy with you.
This is an extremely valuable cloak,
Mordecai said.
But the shirt is better. Much better.
Enchanted Troll Skin Shirt of Pummeling. The wearer of this shirt gains +7 to the regeneration skill. In addition, all melee-based damage debuffs such as stun, knockback, disarm, and out of breath are negated. The shirt is also quite stylish. Maybe a little too stylish. Unlike most monster skin apparel items, this shirt will not grant a negative reaction amongst trolls. In fact, lady trolls might just want to haul you away for some one-on-one time if they see you in this.
That shirt is one of the best Under Armour garments for tanking,
Mordecai said.
A level 7 regeneration skill means you're back to full health pretty quickly after taking damage. In as little as 2 minutes, finding it was a lucky break. This is something that would be in a platinum or legendary box.
You don't have to tell me twice, I said. I pulled off my jacket and slipped the short-sleeved shirt on. It felt cool to the touch and form-fitted to my skin. A couple notifications appeared. I put the leather jacket back on and then added the cloak. I felt a quick rush of power course through me as my constitution rose from 5 to 9.
New achievement! Loot! You're wearing something you found in the dungeon. Reward? You're now a handsome son of a bitch. That's reward enough. New achievement! Ooh, magic! You're wearing magical gear for the first time. You're a wizard, Crawler! Reward? You've received a bronze adventurer box.
The box contained another torch and a pair of healing potions, leaving me with a total of 6. I still didn't have any pants. Or shoes. I was wearing a jacket, a cloak, and boxers. I shook my head. I examined the last item. The toe ring.
Enchanted Toe Ring of the Splatter Skunk. Imbues wearer with +3 strength and gives +3 to the skill Powerful Strike. Also, it's a toe ring! It's probably uncomfortable, and it makes you look like one of those hippie assholes who sit around in a field juggling and hula-hooping all day.
Powerful Strike is a good skill, Mordecai said. Each level multiplies your damage when you're not wielding a weapon. So at level 3, each kick or punch does 3 times the damage it normally would. With your unarmed combat skill and the pugilism skill, your fists already do much more damage than either of those weapons. You might want to consider a monk class, which will enhance that further.
So, I could be like a ninja? I said. I sat down and slipped the toe ring on. It adjusted itself, sliding easily onto my filthy, bloody index toe on my right foot. Like the description warned, it was uncomfortable. I'd never been a jewelry guy. I hopped up and down, trying to get used to it. I felt my strength rise by 50%.
And just like that, you're almost as strong as any human who has ever lived,
Mordecai said. I received another snarky achievement for putting on jewelry, but no reward. I started to fiddle around within my skills menu. Despite the heavy filtering, there was a lot of information in there. There was literally a skill for everything. The menu had a search box. I typed in Frogger just to see what would happen. Growing up, my old man had an original stand-up Frogger video game machine from an arcade. I'd spent hours and hours playing the game when I was stuffed in the basement. My mom locked me in there a lot. Whenever my dad had his friends over, they'd smoke and drink and get loud, and my mom didn't want them being a bad influence on me. So, instead, I stayed downstairs with no television or internet and that damn machine. The top score one could get on an original machine was 99,990. The game never ended, so you could keep playing past that, and the score would cycle over and over. My record was 879,460. Sure enough, it popped up.
Frogger, 1981 video game cabinet version. Result hidden due to filters. Skill 8.
I grinned at that. I wondered why that skill was hidden by the filters. But things like lacing boots, skill 3, wasn't. It probably only included skills useful in the dungeon. I doubted there would be a Frogger machine in one of these hallways. But that wasn't true, was it? Assuming it hadn't been tossed in a landfill, that old Frogger machine was down here somewhere. At least, the atoms of it, or whatever. This dungeon was literally made out of items built by human civilization. I sighed. It was hard to comprehend.
Really, Carl?
A new voice said. It was female, sultry yet pompous at the same time.
If you're going to insist upon wearing that hideous cloak in public, you might want to do yourself the dignity of putting pants on first. I just can't fathom why Miss Beatrice hired you in the first place.
I looked wildly about for the speaker, expecting to find someone dressed like a medieval princess. Instead, all I saw was the cat. Chapter 7 Donut? I said, looking down at the cat. Mordecai stood beside me, mouth agape. Despite being nothing but a pile of goo just a few minutes earlier, the cat appeared to be exactly the same as before. Maybe she had gotten a little bigger, but not by much. Either way, she was still decidedly a cat, except for the talking part.
First off, Carl, my name is G.C. B.W.R. N.W. Princess Donut, the Queen and Chonk, and I'm going to have to insist you call me by my proper title. I will accept just Princess or even Princess Donut, but not if we are in the presence of high company.
She looked at Mordecai as if he was something she had just vomited upon the floor.
I suppose Princess Donut will do for now.
I see what's happened, Mordecai said after a moment. You're partied with her, so you can see for yourself. Pull up her stats.
I clicked on the party menu, and then I clicked on Donut's stats.
Strength, 11. Intelligence, 11. Constitution, 2. Dexterity, 8. Charisma, 25.
What the hell? I said. She was stronger and more intelligent than me, and her charisma was just ridiculous. What happened?
Her stats were all 1, all except dexterity, which was always 8, and charisma, which was 5. Whatever buff you gave her kept her race, but changed her stats. Let me look. Yes, it's like I thought. Look in her health menu. It shows conditions.
I clicked over, and under buffs, it read,
Enhanced Growth. After an initial boost to 4 random stats, all additional levels will automatically grant +1 to strength and intelligence. Charisma will gain +2 per level. No additional stat points will be received upon level up.
Wait, I said. So she's getting 4 stat points per level instead of 3?
Yes,
Mordecai said.
And she doesn't have to wait until she picks a class before they disperse. But that boost is a double-edged sword. She's forever stuck with a constitution of 2 and a dexterity of 8 unless she can find some gear that will enhance it, or if she picks a race and class that changes it for her. But even then, the points will still distribute as indicated.
He grunted.
With a charisma like that, she should consider a bard-based class. 2 points every level is going to add up fast. I'm immune to the effects of her charisma. Same with you and other crawlers. But all the other NPCs and mobs won't be. For the first several floors, that number is huge, bigger than you realize.
But how can she talk? She's still a cat.
I am right here, you know,
Donut said.
It's quite rude to talk about me as if I'm not in the room. And if you must know, Carl, for me, I hear your speech as it should be heard, and you hear mine as that disgusting monkey grunting you call English. I imagine this other creature hears it as squeaks and vermin hisses. This whole translation system is quite elegant, I must admit.
I'm gonna have to start the tutorial all over, Mordecai said. She's not a pet anymore. She's now classified as a regular crawler.
Not necessary. I heard everything you said to my manservant,
Donut said.
Now wave your hand and grant me access to my prize boxes so we can get this farce rolling.
Manservant?
He's a little slow,
Donut said to Mordecai.
Intelligence of only 3. Sad, really. But he's been with the family for a while now, and I just can't see myself letting him go.
I've activated your menus,
Mordecai said.
Oh, wow.
He looked at me.
She received a legendary quadruped box for being the first cat to enter the dungeon.
I watched as a group of loot boxes lined up in front of her just as they had done with me. She only had 5 of them. 3 bronze ones with a couple healing potions and torches. Next was a silver adventurer box that contained a book and a pile of pet biscuits. The note over the book read, Tome of Magic Missile. Next came the legendary box. The symbol on the front was a lion thing. Only a single item came out, a small, jeweled tiara. The cat-sized crown glittered with smoky, dark gems. The deep purple stone in the center swirled internally with clouds, as if the center was liquid. Enchanted Crown of the Sepsis Whore. That sounds ominous, I said.
Wait until you read the description,
Mordecai muttered. The item disappeared into her inventory. The cat sat down and started to groom herself. Are boxes custom-tailored to the person? I asked as I pulled up the party menu. I quickly found I couldn't examine items in Donut's inventory, only items she had equipped.
Sort of. You'll receive items that can be used by your race, but not necessarily your class. So a human barbarian might receive a necromancer staff.
Donut glowed a bright red. Mordecai turned to the cat, raising his hand.
Ah, Princess Donut, I see you taught yourself the magic missile spell already. That's good, good. In case you didn't know, tomes will permanently teach you the spell, and scrolls will just cast it once. That other item you received is quite valuable and powerful. But it is also a very dangerous item. Before you decide to put it on, you should take special note that it...
Poof! The crown magically appeared on her head. Mordecai lowered his hand, sighing. How the hell did she do that? I asked. I'd had to manually put on my cloak and shirt.
She's a quadruped, so she has a different user interface than you. She can perform many actions directly from her menu.
Now that it was equipped, I could examine the tiara's properties.
Enchanted Crown of the Sepsis Whore. Who's a dirty girl? You're a dirty girl. This is a fleeting item. This is a unique item. Imbues wearer with +5 intelligence. Grants the user +5 to the good first impression skill. All attacks, including magical attacks, now have a 15% chance to inflict the sepsis debuff. Warning! Seriously, though, I'm going to say this again. Warning! Read this shit before you put it on. Placing this crown upon your head permanently places you within the royal line of succession for the Blood Sultanate on the 9th floor of the World Dungeon. Removing this item will not remove this status. Royal members of the Blood Sultanate will be required to slay the Sultan and all other members of the royal family before descending to the 10th floor. You'll only want to wear this if you're a bloodthirsty, raging psychopath.
That, I began. I'm not so sure you should have put that on.
It's purple,
Donut said.
Purple is my color. Do you know how many purple ribbons I've won? Do you know what it takes to get a purple ribbon?
What does fleeting mean? I asked Mordecai. And why is there an asterisk by unique? Donut had received a few more boxes from learning the spell and putting on the tiara. It was all low-tier potions and torches. She sorted through the items now, hissing with displeasure each time she received another torch.
Fleeting means it'll crumble to dust the moment she takes it off. If that happens, another crown will be generated somewhere else in the dungeon. Now that it's on her, don't let her take it off. If another crawler gets the crown, it'll just be one more person you'll have to kill to get off that floor.
The idea of having to fight actual people hadn't occurred to me. Would that really happen? The thought of it made me sick. I looked at Donut. What the hell am I going to do now? I asked, shaking my head. The tutorial was over, and I knew it. We'd have to go back out there.
It's quite simple, really,
Donut said.
You need to assist me to this 18th level, so I can exit this hellscape and resume my rightful place as liege. I'm assuming this rat creature won't be able to travel with us.
She lifted her paw and pointed it at me.
So you have been promoted from manservant to bodyguard. Congratulations, Carl!
Princess Donut has named your party the Royal Court of Princess Donut. Princess Donut has changed your title to Royal Bodyguard. Princess Donut has changed her title to Grand Champion Best in Dungeon.
Really? Mordecai laughed.
She has the highest combined stat total, so she's the designated party leader. As such, she has more control over the party menu. Don't worry, the titles don't mean anything.
He paused, suddenly serious.
Listen up, kid. She's quite a bit more powerful than you are right now, so you'll want to stick together. At least until you get to the 9th floor. That will be a challenge. You can always leave the party. That crown is on her head, not yours.
Donut walked up to the door and scratched at it. It opened on its own. Chapter 8. Time to level collapse. 4 days, 20 hours. And with no additional fanfare, we left the guild and struck out into the dungeon.
By the way,
Mordecai said as we left,
now that I've successfully trained both of you, if you enter any additional training guilds, you'll be transported back to this room. I'm now your registered guide, so feel free to come back here if you have any additional questions. You'll lose access to me once you hit the 4th floor.
Yeah. Take care, I said. Good luck out in the universe once this is over. Mordecai looked at me sadly.
Yeah. Good luck to you too.
He grasped my jacket and met my eyes and then whispered,
it's not worth it, no matter what they tell you. Not until floor 12, and even then, negotiate as much as you can. Remember that.
He slammed the door, and my mind reeled. What did that mean? Was he saying it was better to die than to take whatever exit they offered on floors 10 and 11? Did that even matter? Floor 10. Who was Mordecai kidding? 3 million people had died in this place in the very first hour. I wasn't expecting to survive until the next floor opened up.
Okay,
Donut said.
Here's what we're going to do. You're going to walk that way, and if we get attacked by anything, you protect me.
Wandering aimlessly? That's the plan? I asked.
We have approximately 29 hours before these aliens air their television show. That means we have 29 hours to do something absolutely spectacular. But first, we need to find you some pants. I will not be presented to the universe in such a fashion. I can just see the comments now on the Martian social media.
She mocked an alien voice.
A beautiful cat blog, but why isn't her bodyguard wearing pants?
I sighed and started moving down the hall. We headed back the way we'd come before, back toward the main thoroughfare. This entire area was scorched black from the explosion of the goblin dozer. The smear of blood from where the dozer had run over the goblin remained. Everything else had been destroyed in the explosion. You know, you're not wearing pants either, I said after a moment.
Nor am I wearing a cloak that makes me look like I won a participation trophy at the Special Needs Comic-Con, Carl. I'm a cat. Cats don't wear pants, don't be so droll.
We came to the conjunction, and I warily looked around the corner. I didn't see anything. This hallway was lit by torches, not the green lichen, so it was much brighter. It seemed completely abandoned in either direction. We stepped out into the wide tunnel.
Now, I know your simple mind is telling you to just keep...
Okay, I said, turning on the cat. I was struggling with this decision earlier, but this... transformation, or whatever has happened, has made this much easier. I'm going to go that way, I pointed east, and you're going to go any other direction than that. Good luck.
What?
Donut said.
You want to separate? I don't understand.
Look, Mordecai said you're a lot more powerful than I am. Great. That means you'll probably be okay. More okay than me. I leaned in. But I would rather just get this over with and get squished by a goblin bulldozer than spend another second dealing with this bullshit. Cats are assholes. I get it. But do you know why people like cats, despite their assholeness? It's because they don't fucking talk. If they did, and they were all like you, they'd all be extinct because we'd have killed you all by now. I pulled up my menu and tried to figure out how to remove myself from the party.
Wait, Carl, wait, don't. I'm sorry. Wait.
What? I said. The cat sat on the floor. She seemed to deflate.
I'm sorry. You're right, It's just... Have you ever woken up from a long dream? One where you're one thing, and now that you're awake, it takes you a moment to realize that's not who you really are?
I just looked at her.
Okay. When I woke up back there, I had all my memories of all my time being me, of sitting in that window, looking outside, of watching television all day long, of all the hours in the carrier and back of Miss Beatrice's car, travelling to those horrid yet wonderful shows, of being told what a princess I am. And then, suddenly, my mind looked back on all of it, and I understood what had happened. I am a grand champion, Carl. I'm supposed to act a certain way. But sitting in your lap, watching you get fragged over and over in Call of Duty, I like that too. I mean, you really suck at that game, but you keep playing. I didn't realize it at the time, but I liked that.
So, what are you saying? That you're not a crazy, stuck-up asshole princess?
Oh, I am a princess, Carl, but I'll try not to be too much of an asshole. I need you, and you need me, okay? Look, I'm really scared here. I don't want to be alone, and I know you, and you don't want to be alone either. I saw you the other day, looking at the map on your computer, and then at those apartments on Craigslist.
What do you mean? I asked. But I knew exactly what she meant.
There was that day when the passes were clear. You could have taken me back to Miss Beatrice's parents, but you didn't want to. You were looking at apartments, making sure they allowed cats. You were thinking about catnapping me.
I just looked at her. It's exactly what I had been doing. But I hadn't even admitted it to myself.
It wouldn't have worked, by the way. Her dad would have got me back right away.
I sighed. That was true, too. B's dad was a lawyer out of Yakima. Okay. Let's keep moving. We kept traveling. The minimap showed the cardinal directions, and we headed east. I kept an eye out for any special rooms or other dots. Yeah, anyway, I'm not wearing pants because you decided to jump out the window, I said after a few minutes of us traveling in silence. That reminded me, and I felt in my pocket. Yes! A pack of Marlboro Reds. I still had half a pack left. I still had my Zippo. I'd also received a lighter from that goblin box, so now I had two. I had the urge to pull the pack out right then, but I knew I probably wouldn't get any more cigarettes ever again. I had to conserve them.
If I hadn't jumped out the window, we'd both be dead right now.
Why did you jump anyway?
Stop.
Donut hissed.
There's something down there.
We'd passed by multiple conjunctions and alleys. Everything in this maze was featureless so far. I saw no signs of life whatsoever. We stopped now by a thin alleyway, similar to the one that had hidden the goblin dozer. It was completely pitch black in there. On my map, the alley led down to another conjunction, then several more tributaries. The map only revealed so much of the area, so I couldn't see past there. There were no red dots or anything like that. Not that I could see.
What is it?
Donut leaped up off the ground and landed on my shoulder. I suppressed an oof. She wasn't nearly as heavy as she used to be when she did that. Then I remembered my strength was much higher than before. She curled her long, fluffy tail around my neck and glared. A low growl escaped her throat.
What? What do you see? Thwomp, thwomp.
Two bolts shot out of Donut's eyes, one after another. They were like laser blasts from a sci-fi movie. I was so surprised that I almost fell backward. Instead, I just stumbled a little. I remembered she had that magic missile spell. The first bolt hit the rocky wall of the alley, sending bits of rock and smoke showering. The second was better aimed and traveled the length of the tunnel before splashing against something that howled with pain. It was too far away for me to see what it was, but the moment the missile hit it, a red dot appeared on my map.
Okay, there it is. Go get it,
Donut said.
Yeah, maybe next time wait until we know what it is before we start randomly shooting at it.